Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light.
And welcome back. This is Taboo Talks. And this week, we are still discussing divine union. And the beautiful guests that we have with us are ourselves, co-founders Heather Page and Alfina Stephanie. And we're really looking forward to dropping into this conversation with all of you and just share what's been coming up for us in this space and integrate with you.
Yeah, I'm really honored to be able to speak on this. And it was pretty obvious within a week of us starting this topic that these codes were just landing in some really deep resonant part of our souls. Like, and it felt that the divine union actually in its essence is written into the cis society mission statement. So no wonder we feel so connected to this topic. And that is really what we've been boiling down over the last few weeks, is moving, peeling past these external layers of divine union showing up in partnership with others and peeling it down and really finding that underneath all of it lies this encompassing oneness and embracing of all that is, which is embracing the shadow and the light and the full spectrum, all the colors of the rainbow, making space for the gray areas and connecting to the divinity that's within. And that feels like such a crux in our mission as a company, as a movement. So I would love to just go into it, Heather, and start off by asking you, how have you been integrating this topic so far into your life? What have you been shifting? What perspectives have been coming online through talking about divine union?
Yeah, I love that question. And first, just want to reflect on that share and how I never quite thought of it that way in the sense of our mission statement, but it makes so much sense. Divine union is everything, right? It's marrying the light and the dark. It's merging together both sides of the duality into the center point of our being internally and externally. And as far as what I've been integrating, I'm still definitely in the process of absorbing, I mean, all of the beautiful information that's been moved through our guests and just my own channel. And I think the biggest thing that's coming up right now is more of a macro perspective. And I think our topics tend to take this pattern, like where we zoom in really closely and we look at the external and maybe the pain points, and we get like, we really get close to it and see all of the detail. And then as we move through the process or the journey of the topic and move towards the latter, when we're about to wrap it, it starts to zoom out and take this macro perspective. And that usually lands somewhere internally. So yeah, I'm just remembering, and I've been remembering, that divine union is within me. And I'm really feeling this pillar of strength and knowing that everything that I've ever desired or wanted that's been outside of me, true divine union is remembering that it's already within me. And like, this has been particularly true, like in reflecting and magnetizing in a partnership, right? I'm at this space of my life where I feel ready for my divine union, my divine union counterpart, this external like male counterpart that ultimately lives inside of me. And yeah, I've just been remembering that, like, whoever and whatever I want in this partnership, I am, right? And that it's just going to be this like beautiful resonant match, this harmonic frequency. And that the true work in in deepening with your own union to the divine is deepening your work with yourself, right? Deepening your relationship to yourself. And then that naturally just reflects in the world. So I'd say that's the largest thing that's been coming online for me. That I've been feeling move through my body.
Wow. Just like letting that really fully land, the largeness of that integration of taking the external focus and rerouting it internal. And in that transition, we start to remember how powerful that we are and the wholeness that we already have. And it really almost starts to change the conversation from how do we attract these partners, how do we stay in these relationships, just to how do we become the fullness and the wholeness of our soul's essence that we came here to be. And that almost is what I feel like is the biggest gem, because we've talked to relationship counselors, we've talked to love and manifestation coaches, when we've talked a lot about how we can be more intimate in relating, which has been super helpful, super transformative. And I want to talk about that more, but just to touch on what you're saying, it's like the deepest medicine is in becoming that wholeness within ourselves, where we're not grasping for anything from anyone else. And that is in all relationships. Of course, relationships support us and they amplify us. But it's not the saying of, oh, two halves complete a whole, like you are my other half. I'm only half complete without you. You make me whole. And I kind of want to throw away that Hallmark saying and be like, I am whole. And if I'm whole and in my full range of my light, my darkness, my masculine, my feminine, my giver, my receiver, all of it, then I'm going to be able to attract someone and help someone else to be in their fullness, right? So it's like my fullness just amplifies your fullness instead of my half completes your whole. My fullness amplifies more fullness in you. And that's just such a beautiful perspective shift back to self.
Yeah. Wow. I love that so much. Yeah. It's like, I mean, the question that I've been asking myself through all of this is, how do I become my desires? How do I walk the way of what I desire? How do I embody my desires? And like, remember that they've always been within me. And this came up recently in my DJ course, actually, this concept of our desires not being something that we consciously call in. Like, our desires are buried deep within us. Like, our wants and our desires are not our choice. And I just thought that was so beautiful, because they really aren't, right? Like, we have a choice about what we want to do with them, but ultimately, like, the essence of divine union and connection to everything in what we desire, what we want in our life, is inside of us. So I feel like a big element of meeting divine union more deeply is remembering that, and embodying that.
Yeah, that's been coming up a lot in personal conversations I've had with friends and doing my own reflection on that. And exactly what you're saying has been coming to light. If there's a desire I have in partnership, then it's a beautiful opportunity to examine within, well, how am I showing up to fulfill these desires for myself first and foremost? And I also like to be like, well, if I want this from my partner, am I willing to give this to my partner, or am I giving this to my partner already? And usually when I want something from my partner that I'm A, not giving to myself or not giving to him, then I have the opportunity to shift that. And every time I've played around with this, when I shift those desires and take responsibility for an ownership for them and act upon them, then in the external, that is reflected back to me, whether it's coming from my partner, whether it's coming from a stranger or a family member, it comes back. But it's, again, it's like that ownership and responsibility and looking inward first. And something that's been coming up a lot too in my relationship is this dance with these inner polarities. And instead of having these expectations that are really ingrained into society of the man needs to provide for me, or the woman needs to show up in this way to nurture me. If there's something that I'm really desiring that feels more masculine or feels more provider that I'm really craving, and I'm like, I want my partner to fulfill this, then that's an invitation for me to step into more of those traits myself and allow in that polarity shift when I actually am like, oh, I can be the provider for myself, or I can be the initiator. Then what happens is I actually polarize my partner to be in a new role, and we're able to dance and act these new roles out with each other that are different from what we've been maybe modeled in society or in our families or in the programming that we receive. And that just allows so much more freedom and releases us from expectations of these societal normal roles, and actually opens up so much more range for the fullness of our experience in the relationship dynamics to really evolve and have so much more texture and richness, because we realize that we can be it all, we can do it all, we can take turns, we can move back and forth, and it can be this really fluid, flowy masterpiece that we're co-creating together. And it keeps the relationship dynamics more exciting, it keeps them more fresh. And then it also reminds you that there's nothing outside of yourself that you need from your partner. And if you feel that way, use your partner's strengths as inspiration. For example, if I'm like, oh, I want my partner to provide for me, I want him to make the money for me. Well, what is my partner doing to make money and be a provider that I can learn from? What codes does he have that I'm desiring to embody for myself? Instead of saying, you need to give me the money, how about you teach me your codes, right? It's like teaching someone to fish versus bringing them fish. Instead of just bringing them fish all of the time, they're going to always want more fish. They're going to always want more fish. But if you teach them how to fish, then now they're sovereign, they're independent. And now I can fish for you too, babe. And now maybe you can try in a different role and that I'm teaching you. So that's been coming up a lot. And even just in a small way of holding my partner, like sitting behind him and holding him and caressing his head. How often do we in relationship, we as the feminine want to be held? We want to be the little spoon, right? And it feels so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, like men want to be the little spoon too. Men want to be held too. Men want to be nurtured, and men want to have their hair stroked lightly. And of course they do. And it allows them to soften and allows them to receive. And it creates a new way of not only showing up in embodiment in relationship, but then when we take on these different roles, then we're able to see each other in different ways. So now he's able to see, wow, I see your masculine, I see your provider, I see your initiator, and I trust you more. I have more respect for you. And now I see, oh, you're able to soften, you're able to receive, you're able to nurture. I feel safer with you. I feel like I'm able to connect in my heart more with you. So it just, there's so many benefits to this. And I really do believe that when we create that union within, then we open up the full spectrum of ourselves to show up in relationships with anyone in our lives. And it just, adds so much.
Yes. Yes, we get to be the big spoon and the little spoon. And I think the most important element of what you were speaking into, which I love, is that we get to be masters of all of our archetypes. And that requires a certain level of consciousness, recognizing that we, like in this divine union space, are many things. And if we're unaware of that, we're being kind of pulled in these different directions at different times with, you know, we're unaware and we're kind of overwhelmed, we're drowning in the mix of it. But when you can say like, I am a mother, right? Like I am the mother archetype. I am the lover archetype. I am the masculine archetype. I am like the true divine feminine archetype. Like then you can begin to recognize what's needed at a certain time and step into that role powerfully. You know, it's like when your partner's sick and they need support, like you have the opportunity to step into that mother archetype and be a caretaker. And yeah, it's like the when we first decided to do this topic, I just saw like divine union, like masculine, feminine, right? And that almost feels like it's doing it a disservice, because if we are everything, we are everything. We're all of it. And how do we come into radical acceptance of all that we are, the shadow, the light, like you were speaking into before, and all of these different pieces of ourselves, and consciously be like dancing with them, working with them, utilizing them, calling them forward, like putting one to sleep when it needs to be put to bed. And just like, it really is this divine dance of everything. Yeah. And something came through before, the word divine. We were talking about like going into the self and connecting more to the self and allowing that to reflect externally, like divine, like dive in, like dive into yourself, dive into the oneness that has always been you and been your essence.
I love that. Intimacy, into me, I see divinity. Dive into me.
Yes.
Word witches.
Word witches unite.
So auspicious this conversation is happening on May 1st, which is the pagan holiday of Beltane, which is all about celebrating love and fertility and new beginnings in the spring. And here we are talking about really this divine, all-encompassing love. So
it's so beautiful. Yeah, it's warming my heart to connect to the essence of the truth. And divine union, I believe, is our truth. Like it's the eternal dance of compassion and acceptance for all the pieces and elements of ourselves. And then allowing that deepening of that relationship to showcase itself in everything that we touch and every person we interact with. And yeah, it's just really, it's hot, super hot.
Yeah, I would love to share a little bit more. You can both share about this, of how we are showing up in relationship differently because of what we've been learning around intimacy and relating, taking it a little bit more in that direction. Because I feel like there's just been so many golden nuggets that have been coming through, and how that union, what separates a union with somebody, a regular union with someone, as a divine union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've discussed this outside of the space a few times, and in my experience, divine is everything, but ultimately divine to me is consciousness and awareness. So it's bringing attention to something and awareness to something, right? I can be in a relationship and kind of move with the ebbs and flows and just see a confrontation as a confrontation, right? Or I can look at a relationship as a divine opportunity to grow and evolve and to see that we come together to heal, right? That's like the subtle difference that I believe. It's like just saying like, oh, I'm in a relationship. It's like, no, I'm actually like, I'm in school right now. Like that's coming online too for me right now. And I just want to double click on that a bit more, that yeah, we're in this curriculum. And the more that we can accept that and remember that, then everything is a teaching, and everyone is a teacher. We are teachers, we are students, and we're serving one another constantly. And yeah, I'm curious what your, through all of this, definition is of divine union in the space of a partnership, and then someone who isn't in a partnership. Like, what's been coming alive for you in that realm?
Yeah, just to reflect on what you're saying, there's such gold in that. And Delphina touched on this as well, that all of our relationships are truly divine unions and have been. But what separates it now is that we're consciously aware that we're in the curriculum, that we're in the dance, that we're in the union. We have the consciousness. So just bringing the consciousness to that field inherently restores its divinity. And it also reminds me of a post that I saw last night on the internet that was said something along the lines of, when you're labeling something as sacred or not sacred, you've already lost the meaning of what it is, because everything inherently is sacred. Everything inherently is divine. So just zooming out and having that kind of lens and definition, then that would mean that every relationship is a divine union relationship when we remember that it is.
Girl, that is like, that's a mic drop. That's a mic drop moment. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. It comes to awareness and consciousness, I believe, is like gathering more awareness. And we, in order to reach new levels of consciousness, we have to move through these relationships where maybe we are in the dark. We don't have the tools. We don't have the awareness. We don't have, we don't know, because we haven't been through it. And as we move through these spaces with our parents, our friends, our lovers, with our bosses, with that person on the street that pissed us off, like, we gather information that allows us to reach the remembrance that it's always been divine. That, like, everything has been orchestrated for us our entire life to bring us to this exact moment. Right? Like, every decision you've made, every turn, every wrong turn you thought you made led you here. So can we remember that it's literal perfection? It's mathematical perfection.
Yeah, it's all divine. Even those moments that feel super shitty, like you're saying, or triggering. And just, I'm just seeing this triangle that's in constant circulation of God, source, consciousness, divine, whatever we want to call it. And then me or you and another person, whoever these people that were always circulating, the energy is always circulating. And most of our lives, we've just been looking at it like a straight line. Like, it's just me and this person, me and this person. But when we remember that it's always us, this person, and this higher orchestration, this higher force that's going on, and it's actually not a straight line, it's always been a triangle. That's when we elevate out of just union to divine union.
Yeah, it's literally like this triangle is coming. It's coming to me so strongly, even in the sense of like our sexual organs, right? Like, you look at the ovaries and the connection to the yoni, like, it's a triangle. You look at the heart in connection to the ovaries, it's a triangle. You look at the lingam in connection to the testicles, it's a triangle. Like, these codes are built into our body.
That's potent. In triangles, you know, that number three, the 3 points are all about manifestation and moving forward and action and momentum. And it's like that arrow. It's like a play arrow where things are just happening and moving in front of us. So yeah, to answer your question and to kind of come back into relationship, your question was around relationships or not being in a relationship. Well, first of all, I want to say that regardless if you're in a romantic partnership or you're single, we still have ample, infinite opportunity to be in divine relating, to be in divine union in lots of other masks and faces and people that were around. So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's any lack ever of being able to practice or receive the medicine that we're meant to receive. And I think that we have this idea, I guess I had this idea when I was single, that all these new codes would just come through and this person would basically trump my other relationships in some way. And although there are very unique, specific, powerful codes that come through my partner, I'm looking back and now in my life and I'm realizing that these codes and these lessons and these medicines are always coming through. They're coming through our connection. You know, they're coming through the connection with my brother. They're coming through connection with people that I'm meeting. And so I want to kind of almost reframe that as in like divine union. You're already in divine union. And there is just going to be a different angle or a different perspective that's going to come in when you are in that romantic partnership, but to trust that all the messages and medicines are available for you now. They're available for you now, and whatever the universe wants to bring to you isn't going to just be like pushed back because this person isn't here to bring it to you yet. It's going to come through in infinite other ways. So for anyone listening, that's just something that I would have wanted to hear when I felt like I was just really craving and desiring that divine union, just realizing I'm already in so many beautiful divine union connections all of the time. And in terms of actually being in a partnership, I would say that now that I have this new conscious awareness and I'm with a partner who also has this conscious awareness that we are in service to God, Goddess, we're in service to something higher than ourselves, then we are able to really show up with this deeper level of trust and surrender and openness to how that's going to unfold. And there seems to be a lot less anxiety and attachment and expectations than I've ever experienced in any other relationship. There's a lot more ease and a lot more patience for the unfolding of it. And there's something that I really wanted to share about this, but I guess what is your question in specific around being in partnership so I can answer you more specifically?
I mean, I feel like you answered it. Like I hear, I was asking if you thought there was a difference between a romantic divine union partnership and every other every other type of divine union connection in our lives. Like if there's a differentiation between the two for you.
So it's like, it's kind of two answers. Like part of me is like, there is no difference because it's all divine and it's all partnerships and we're all equal. But then this other part of me is like, well, it is different though, because I am physically sexually intimate with this person and I'm really emotionally vulnerable and open and honest with this person and let this person see me in different ways than I let most people see me. And we have these joint visions together and joint dreams together, right? So there is a difference. And I do feel that when we meet these certain really significant people in our lifetimes, that instead of looking at like it is hierarchical, like this person's better than everyone else in my life, we can look at it as like this person is more in resonance with where I am right now than most other people in my life. And that's almost what I feel like it is. It's a science of resonance. And that due to the mathematics, the laws of the universe, it's all attraction is all about resonance. Like the more resonant we are with someone, the more in their field that we're going to end up, and we're going to end up being more attracted to them. The more in resonance that we are, the more similar our frequencies, the more aligned and similar our pathways are. So I almost feel like these divine union partnerships are really about timing and the spiritual journey that we're both on individually. And when you meet someone who's on a similar place along their spiritual journey with a similar mission at their core, then you find this really deep resonance that's so special. And it's so special and it's so unique. And although you could fall into lots of different loverships and partnerships because of the almost like this perfect time and place and space that we're connecting at, it allows the two individuals to come together to serve a purpose that's larger together than it would be on their own. And so I will say that I had all these ideas of my own purpose and my own mission, and then he had his own ideas too, right? And since we've been together, we've been activating different remembrances, memories, codes, and understandings within one another that have now been elevating our individual purposes to meet in this like higher point than I think I would have been able to get to on my own. And he's been like inviting me to move in this direction, and I've been inviting him to move in this direction, which are both expanding us. So we're both inviting each other to kind of climb this pyramid, like we're climbing this pyramid together. And the idea is that we're meeting at the top so that we're able to create something together for humanity that is like the most authentic expression of our soul's essences in this lifetime, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, it feels like at the top of the triangle is always the divine, God, consciousness, the universe, whatever you desire to call it. It's all perfect. And then at the bottom is this, the concept of the masculine feminine energy that takes different shapes and forms, obviously, depending on preference. But like the ultimate goal is to uplift and like to to elevate one another to this center point, right? And in a relationship, like, you know, something that I've experienced is like that can get uncomfortable, but something that's been coming through a lot recently is just remembering that it's not personal, right? If we remember, and obviously we forget, we're meant to forget and remember, but if we remember that we're here to serve, like we're here to serve consciousness, we're here to serve the truth of our mission, then anything that's like brought up in the space of a partnership, any sort of like conflict, anything I'm calling out in you, anything you're calling out in me, it's not for my own selfish benefit. It's because like I see something in you and I see your divinity and I'm inviting you to rise. And that feels like such a profound difference. It's not like, oh, like I'm feeling upset about this and now you need to like, no, it's like, no, actually, like I'm seeing something in you that's hindering your growth and like your ability to take up the fullness of your space that I feel in my body in this connection. And it's my responsibility to compassionately and lovingly call you to it. And then that person has a sovereign choice whether or not they want to meet you, right? And I think that's like also where relationships can end up failing, right? Because the other person is like, hey, I actually like don't want to step up on that step right now. Like, I'm not ready for that right now. And then I believe like another part of our personal divine union with ourselves is honoring that and saying like, actually, like I desire whatever it is, I desire personally to have like a partner who has an equal growth mindset, like and wants to continue to grow and evolve and support one another in that growth. And like that can get uncomfortable. So yeah, because you're in this partnership, I'm like, I would love to bring up, yeah, I would love to just get curious about like the level of discomfort that you like meet and how you navigate that. And if you have any tools to bring yourself back to the remembrance of the truth in bringing each other to rise towards the center of this divine union.
You were so beautifully reading my mind, because that was exactly what I was going to bring up next, which was this to me. And I told this to my partner just yesterday. He recently asked me, how do I keep you? How do I keep this relationship going? That's a big question, right? And I thought about it a little bit more. And the one thing that came through was, I just need you to rise with me. That's all that's required. And so I love that you brought that up about rising together. And in really, this is an opportunity in all of our relationships. And maybe we each get a couple steps up the pyramid, and then our partner says, well, this is as far as I can go. You know, I'm just seeing like a mountain climber, like climbing up this steep pyramid, and they look down and like, oh, this is too much for me. Like, I gotta abandon now. I can't go up any higher. And you're like, well, I'm gonna keep going. Like, I'm sorry, but I have to keep going. Like, there's no other direction I can go. And so maybe your partner falls off and you keep climbing. And as you keep going up, you meet this other climber who's up, and they're matching the resonance, the height that you're at. And then all of a sudden you're climbing together and you keep going. And then they're like, oh, I don't think I can keep going. Like, the top is too high for me. You're like, okay, like I gotta honor myself, because I know I have to keep climbing. And right. So now, like, this idea that we're continuing to climb. And for me, I believe that's what makes a successful long-term divine union partnership, is the ability for both partners, even when it's scary, especially when it's scary, especially when it's triggering as fuck, to continue to put one foot in front of another and trusting that you are doing it together. And so you do have this safe, secure, trustworthy person who's going to hold you through that, who you're, you know, when you climb, you have those carabiners and ropes, right? There's security in numbers. There's security when you have someone else to tether you. So it's like, we're tethered. Let's keep going all the way to the top. And then eventually at some point, I mean, I don't know if it ever really like becomes like, oh, this is the final destination. But I do believe that there is some sort of pinnacle where you continue to show up in your highest selves to the point where you are fully in alignment with your purpose and in that in the world. So to go back to answering your question, along that journey, there is a lot of discomfort that comes up. And I think that most of the discomfort that arises is through the clarity that you receive from these people, from these partnerships. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I've noticed that every time I've really been triggered or upset by my partner, it's typically reflecting something within me that I have not wanted to see or I've not been ready to face. And so I think that the hardest thing in partnerships in general is a lack of self-responsibility and accountability and an ownership of what is ours versus a projection and a blame and a victimization onto our partners of what is theirs. And in mm-hmm. reality, it doesn't matter how close you are to someone, we're not responsible for changing people. And we can't change someone else, no matter if they're our best friend, no matter if we sleep in bed with them every night and we've been together with them for 100 years, it doesn't matter. We only have responsibility and we can only change ourselves and our decisions. And so a big part of our relationship has just been swallowing my pride and my ego over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm sure my partner can probably relate. And softening enough and lowering my defenses enough, which I'm still working on. It's a progress. It's a journey to really hear what my partner is saying and what is being reflected and triggered within me. And then having the humility to take responsibility and change my behaviors. And that has been just showing up in all my relationships. Because I'm doing that in this relationship, it's showing up in all my relationships with my friends and my coworkers, so on and so forth. And the other big thing that I'll say is it's been really an invitation to step more into my truth and into my power and to communicate that. And what I mean by that is that I think there's been a lot of discomfort in being like feeling scared, like my truth was too much, or my truth would turn someone away, or my truth would be a turnoff. And realizing that if I hold back my truth to try to fit into a story or a narrative to please someone else, then I'm not only doing myself a disservice, but I'm doing them a disservice, because now there is some level of self-abandonment, self-sacrifice, and superficiality that's not, I'm not being honest to myself. And so inherently I'm not being honest with my partner. Mm-hmm. And at some point along the lines, it's never going to work. So I think one of the hardest things for me has just been learning how to use my voice fully and really connecting in what is my truth in every given moment and feeling empowered and trusting in the universe enough that no matter what, no matter how my partner responds, if I am in my truth, then I know that I am climbing up that pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And even if my partner can't continue to go there with me, then the universe has me. And the universe will be there to take me to the next level. And just literally, like literally trusting so much in your own truth that you are willing to let everything that is an illusion and that is a distortion and is not in resonance with that truth, being willing to let that all go. And that is probably the scariest thing, because so many of us don't want to let things go that are comfortable.
Well, yeah, it's a fear of death, right? Like not sharing our truth. Like we begin to ask ourselves the question, why are we not sharing our truth? Well, firstly, like ultimately, if I'm not sharing my truth with my partner, it's because I don't think that they can handle it. And ultimately, when that reflects back to me, I don't think that I can handle it. And truth does is the catalyst for change. Mm-hmm. And that can shift the shape of relationships and friendships. And recognizing that our truth is so powerful and so safe that no matter what happens through that truth sharing, that everything will be okay. that the truth, I mean, you hear it all the time, right? The truth will set you free. I used to say it all the time, and now I actually understand it. Like, the truth liberates, right? If I'm in a partnership that's not fully aligned and I'm not speaking into it, like, I am in a cage and they are in a cage of my delusion. So by speaking my truth and saying, like, hey, this doesn't feel fully resonant and aligned right now, I don't only liberate myself, I also liberate them to release them to connect with a more resonant match, a more resonant frequency. And then I give myself the gift of doing the same. And yeah, like with this like Aries season, like truth has been hot. Like it's been flowing through me like lava. And it feels so good. Like I can feel like the previous blocks that were in my throat chakra just starting to dissipate and soften. And my throat is feeling safer and safer to open. As my body begins to feel safer and safer to open, right? Mm-hmm. Like the womb is connected to the throat, like they're interconnected. They have like very similar anatomy too. If you have a chance, I invite you to look it up. But like everything in me is opening and softening and feeling safe to allow like the truth to move through. Yeah, it's a really beautiful process.
Yes. I feel that there's this surge on the planet of the divine union really activating within everyone, meaning women are feeling more confident and brave to take up the space to speak their truth, to be in their power, to be seen, to lead. And simultaneously, men are feeling safer to surrender, to open, to trust, to lean into the heart. And it's just creating this beautiful experience of liberation in all ways, in all directions. And yeah, something I wanted to just add to around these divine union partnerships, of like a fun way of understanding them for me anyway. Like you were talking about curriculum and school, and I really feel like with these partnerships that we are in for, I'm not going to say forever, but these longer partnerships, these deeper partnerships that we enter into, it feels like we've almost made these agreements before. Like, okay, we're going to do this together because I'm going to be one of your biggest teachers, and you're going to be one of my biggest teachers. And in that process, we're going to trigger each other. We're going to upset each other, and we're going to be brutally honest with each other. And it's not always going to be easy. But we understand that if we continue to deflect and avoid the truth that's being reflected to us, then we will continue to meet it. And we will continue to meet it in different faces, wearing different masks over and over and over and over again. And so do we want to continue to repeat that lesson with different people? Or do we want to just find this person that can go to that depth and reach that height with us, who is equally as determined and equally as devotional to truth as we are, and who's able to meet us, who's able to meet us in that radical self-responsibility, and who's able to rise with us. And so again, coming back to resonance, it's like resonance, it's like connecting with another soul who is as devoted to their rise as you are devoted to your rise, and who's willing to do that dirty work, do that shadow work with you, and not just to run away when it gets too hard or uncomfortable. And really, to me, that's more of what I see divine union really being, is those relationships that are willing to go the distance are the ones that are willing to just move beyond the surface and really do the work that is required, and willing to show up in devotion to the relationship, because showing up in devotion to the relationship is really just a reflection of you showing up in devotion to your own journey of ascension.
Yes. Preach, sis. Yeah. Something that came through in what you were sharing is just like the importance of our ability to manage our fears and our shadows. Right. And like, if someone is presented with something that's too uncomfortable and they run away from it, like the fear and the shadow for me is like the Lady Death story and Women Who Run With Wolves. Also, if those of you listening haven't read the book, I highly suggest, or at least just read the skeleton woman. This concept of like, all of us carry like life and death, right? And death just isn't physical death. It's like the death of an outdated narrative, the death of a cycle, the death of a pattern, the death of a job, the death of like a home, you know, like we're consistently dying in these little ways. And it's so incredibly important to have the ability to be able to manage our fears and to manage death. And because it's going to be there no matter what, right? Like if you ultimately feel uncomfortable in a relationship and it's challenging you too much and you don't feel like rising and you leave, like you are going to be presented with that same curriculum in another shape and form. Like you cannot run away from it. Like everywhere you run, you'll find yourself there. So I think it's like, you know, obviously like we get to take care of ourselves and like hold ourselves true to our needs, wants, and desires in the space of a partnership and make decisions that feel good for us. But like for those of you listening that maybe are in partnership, just beginning to ask yourself that question, like, am I managing my fears? Like, am I managing my shadows? And how is that taking shape in this relationship? Like, what am I resisting? Whatever I'm resisting in them, I'm resisting in myself. And the longer that I resist it, the more it will meet me in other ways. Like maybe you won't meet that curriculum with your partner, but you'll go into work and there'll be some sort of confrontation that has a similar texture and energetic frequency to that call to rise that you were met, that you were given, or that curriculum that you were called to with your partner. So just having that level of like compassion and understanding can really soften things and allow us to surrender and open ourselves up to the work that presents itself in everything that we need.
It is such a curriculum, divine union, these just intimate relating, right? It's such a masterclass. And I guess I had this idea of when I entered union that things would just be resolved in a way, like it would be easier. And in some ways it is easier. But what I didn't understand was that I've done so much work on myself throughout my whole life, of course, but there's so much more amplification in such a shorter amount of time that happens when you're with someone who is so clear and who is so embodied in their truth that you are, when you enter into these relationships, you better be ready to see yourself in a whole new way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like now what's coming through is, for somebody who's listening, who's calling in divine union, just calling in partnership, right? And they really want that. My biggest advice would be like, well, are you ready to fully see yourself? Are you ready to fully take ownership in your life? Are you ready to be responsible for your shadows? Because if you're saying no to any of those things, then you're not ready for divine union. And if you are ready and you're like, yeah, I want those things, then how can you practice doing that in other relationships in your life to match that frequency of what it is that you're attuning yourself to?
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, this might be like a little triggering, but it just came through. Like, where are we addicted to the light, right? If you're like, if you want like an easy, simple partnership, right? Like, of course, when we first meet someone, it's like the honeymoon phase, right? Like all of these like love chemicals are flushing through your body. Like you're in the stage of light. Like you're meeting the light in another. You're amplifying the light in another. And what's the opposite side of the light? It's the shadow. So of course it's going to come in. So like, you know, I believe that there's so many relationships out there that like, you know, hit the hills running as soon as like the shadow work comes. And I think how beautiful of a world would it be if we like entered into a partnership and like right off the jump said like, hey, yeah, we're in our light phase right now, but like, we're going to hit the shadow phase. How can we prepare for that? Right. Like imagine that as an initial conversation in a partnership, like early on, as opposed to just waiting for it to come and being like, ah, oh my gosh, this person does this and they do this. Oh my gosh, I'm having to see this in myself. Oh, this is really overwhelming. I kind of want to leave. It feels like way too much. And again, it comes down to like this management of like our fears and management of our shadows. Like, how are you managing? You're the CEO of your duality. You're the CEO of your light, you're the CEO of your dark. And how are you showing up for it? How are you communicating with it? And yeah, I see partnerships on the planet completely shifting now. And it's really incredible to be a part of this conversation as it evolves.
Yeah, and like not just preparing for the shadows and the darkness that is imminent, but celebrating it, like welcoming it and embracing it, because it is through that depth, through that shadow, through that contraction that actually opens up more vulnerability, more depth, and creates more space to expand and more space to soar. And that's just come through so many times. Like every time that I feel, oh, this is a really hard thing, I don't want to share this, or this is really uncomfortable, on the other side of that has always been an upgrade into our intimacy, into our relating, into our sexual shared experiences, you name it. So many upgrades through those conversations and experiences that we oftentimes want to resist. And I'm realizing that the sooner I address it, like not letting it build up, because the more you let those things build up, then the contractions can be really intense, versus like, oh, I'm noticing this subtle energy now, I'm just going to clear it. And I've gotten better at doing that. My partner and I both have been more aware of these subtleties in our feelings and our emotions, and being able to name them and express them right away. So that way we can avoid it from being this huge eruption to just like a little, you know, 0.3 earthquake or whatever. It just can be a little. And then, we're able to, it doesn't rattle us and take us out of our regulation so much. And it feels like we're able to more steadily expand, versus like a volatile market. It's more of a market that's like that, like a little bit, but it's steadily going up.
Yeah, it feels like being in your truth is compassionate, right? Like bringing compassion to the space of your relationship. That's really touching. I love that. I love that so much. Yeah, we're learning, we're growing, we're evolving, and our relationships are such a powerful space to, like you said, to welcome the discomfort, right? To remember that the discomfort is where the growth is. So like, instead of saying like, oh man, that person like pissed me off, like, I hate this feeling. What if you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful that they triggered me. I'm so grateful that they brought something up in me, because then that's such a golden nugget of opportunity for us to introspect and say, what is this about? Like, where did this come from? Where did this begin? I wonder why I feel this way. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's power. It's true power, managing our emotions and understanding them.
It's so good seeing this other person as the divine, as God and goddess is speaking through my partner and delivering this divine message for me. Of course, you know, choose your partners wisely. Make sure that you actually feel like you trust the truth that's coming from your partner, and that they are connected to their own source of divinity, however that looks. But in my partnership, I feel that we both are just channeling whatever it is that wants to come through, and it's coming from integrity and it's coming from love. And so again, it's something that we're all working on, but really trying not to take it defensively and being like, wow, thank you for delivering this message to me. Now I understand. Now I can integrate it and see myself in a new way that maybe I wouldn't have ever seen, or maybe it would have taken me twice as long to see it and three more relationships of neglecting to see it. But now that you're just clearly just speaking your truth to me, I have the opportunity now to actually hear what you're saying, integrate it, and make a different decision based off of that. And how much of a gift and a blessing is that?
Such a gift. Discomfort is such a gift. Yay. I used to be in this leadership group, and they talked about this a lot, discomfort. And almost at the end of every call, they would say, I wish you discomfort. And like, at first I used to feel so triggered by it, because I was like, no, I want to feel comfortable. And like, I want to feel like ease and grace and softness all the time. And, you know, as the course went on, like I began to really understand the beauty in it. Like we grow through these spaces of the contraction, right? So welcoming the contraction with open arms and an open heart and just being like, hey friend, what do you have to teach me today? Let's do it.
Incursion with the contraction.
Yeah.
And then it becomes less and less contracted. It's like the pleasure and pain. The more that we label it as pain, then and pleasure, then we're polarizing those reactions in our bodies based off of the way that we're organizing them in our mind. But what if we looked at the contraction as like we can pursed it with it, like contraction, it gets so sexy, and we just like allow ourselves to actually just like embrace it and feel it and flow with it, so that we physically, psychologically experience it in a different way that feels a lot less resistant and a lot less traumatic or painful. And we just see it as an inevitable upgrade.
Yes,
it's an invitation to upgrade. It's an invitation literally. To level. And the more we resist it and label it as this like contraction, like a negative thing, then that's going to be more of our reality with it. But the more that we welcome it and celebrate it as just an inevitable part of climbing the pyramid, then we get to dance with it, and it becomes a lot softer and gentler and easier each and every time. I believe that.
Yeah, I believe that too. Remembering why we're here, like why did we as souls come into human form? I believe it is to grow and evolve, to remember, to learn, however you want to put it. And yeah, all of the divine union relationships in our life are potent portals to do that and to utilize those spaces for the up-leveling and uprising of our partner, friend, lover, family member, and for the up-leveling of ourselves. So,
oof.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so juicy. I feel like we could talk forever about this. But I feel that we're coming to a really organic completion. And I'm super grateful to have had this opportunity to just share more with everyone listening. And hopefully this helps you to understand really the heartbeat of how we are creating this community, this society, and getting to know us a little bit more on a personal level. And hopefully there's been some sort of codes and nuggets for you to integrate into your life that resonated. And we really welcome even more personal outreach and questions. So yeah, Heather and I are very much open books. So please reach out to us individually as well if you want to deepen this discussion.
Yes, I was just going to say that we would love to talk to you. And if you want to join this conversation, if you resonated with or took something away from this conversation and you want to have more conversations like this, we have a private global WhatsApp community where we dive more deeply into these topics. Message either of us. We're both on Instagram. DM us, and we would love to get you in on the conversation. And if you're listening to this on Spotify podcast, please subscribe. Your support means everything to us and allows us to keep having conversations like this. Share it with someone you think might resonate. Post it on your Instagram. Like, we love a good tag. At Cis Society World on Instagram. If you're listening and watching on YouTube, again, subscribe and share. We love all of you. We appreciate all of you. We are here for all of you and building this for you. So thank you so much for joining this conversation on Divine Union. It's been a delight and a pleasure. And we look forward to seeing you all for the next adventure.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.